Hi, darlings. Welcome to another episode of Quick Communist FM. I've been taking a little break because I was... give me a second. The recording is not working properly. I think it's not. Yes, it is. Okay, here we go. I was taking a little break because I was kind of going through my trans outing in a way, because I figured after calling myself queer for some time, this really quite didn't work out being enough as far as the way I kind of used queer. It was not really marking the difference between just, oh, I'm not into this binary thing, to, oh, I'm actually beyond this binary thing. That's kind of a strange distinction, maybe. And this is probably what the next hour, if I can fill it up with talking, will be about, to tell you about my very specific way of trying to figure out what trans identity means for me. It's not easy to fall in love. It's easy to get off the way. And my brain will lead me off, because this is really, it's not an easy topic. Like, it never was, but still, okay. Focus. I want to make clear that I cannot relate, and I can relate to a lot of things, but I'm not, from a more epistemological point of view, I cannot deal with any kind of essentialism. Like, I can deal with science. I can actually totally deal with science, but I am very critical, because you always can be, so you can always look at the specifics of anything, and science too. What's the method, in what context, what it is made for, what are the assumptions going into the exploration of the topic, and so on. But where I'm heading off to, I want to talk about my own trans identity thing. So I will focus on what I started with. When I started doing this show, Queer Communist, it was like the mix-up of queerness, which for me is an anti-identitarian kind of politic. This is what queerness is about, was about for me when I tried to use this term. And combining it with communism, because communism is usually seen as a more dogmatic view, and I'm not thinking that it has to be. For me, communism marks a vision of the way we live together, like, is the main focus of politics and not anything else but that. So it's not a kind of, oh yeah, we have to do this and that situation. It's a kind of, now we have done this and that, so we can achieve a way of living together in a good way. So it's not like, it's the easy thing hard to do. So I was trying to combine queer and communism to have this keep it in motion thing. This is not especially unfamiliar to communism, but for like real communism it is. So, and whatever, but I still think historically that communism and anarchism make different points in a very interesting conversation, which is to have between those two. But there are 21st century outlooks on this problem that are more systemically connected, so you don't have to be oppositional about things which are just within the same sphere of connectivity. But still, We're standing on the shoulder of giants, so we can kill the giants. Or whatever. So, like I said, for me, queer was kind of just a marker, because it was an identity marker too. For me, as being queer, as not being, okay, I'm kind of, this was kind of, in one way, to a goodbye to patriarchal society of being, you have to be a man. And I never was a man. I was kind of always this soft man type, you know, this, and not really, it's like totally effeminate. I'm always more this kind of strange. What people see me and I get ascribed, it's more like freakish and strange and weird. Are you on drugs? Which led for me to using this term neurodiverse, which comes from, as far as I know, I'm not too deep into this research yet, but it's about, it comes from autism research, and it's connected to Asperger and Tourette's too. But don't judge me now. I'm really trying to elaborate on this and trying to find out. But still, the word neurodiverse, like diversity of the neuronal experience, the neuro experience, is very important to stop pathologizing stuff, like being in a situation where everything is just a pathology, like trans was till recently. And there comes many problems with when I was identifying as queer, it didn't really make a difference, because people could still perceive me as male as much as they wanted to. I was never trying to make an effort. I was always hurt by people ascribing male qualities to me and regarding me as male. It was like always sickening. But I kind of had a very, what is like, work hard and escape approach to it. So just build your own contexts where it's not happening. But still, I realized I can't run away forever. Nothing is going to stop this structural violence getting back to me. Yeah, it's very clear that from this short story about me, I already told that I had quite a lot of options to get satisfaction and being of value to others. So it was kind of not too bad for me to, I was not totally sick of like performing male all the time. It was sickening and demonizing. My mental health was in a very difficult state. But if you know me, I have little limits on what I allow myself to think and how to behave. There are some. I'm afraid of stuff. Sure. But yeah, maybe it's kind of important to see that I worked as a performance artist in a way for a long time, and kind of was able to play out a lot of stuff on stage in public space, because I did it on my own. Like, I planned it and organized a lot of this, so I could really do it on my own terms, like nobody telling me what to do in what time, whatever. So I could really kind of have the therapeutical experience of art, which some people wouldn't call art, but just a way of art. But for me, it was about knowing the trickery of making it look art. So, because yeah, I'm certainly, I have many of these what people call trickster things. Maybe people would suggest me to be a hipster, but I'm not. No, I'm sorry. I am really not. Maybe no. It's a male concept for me, so I cannot be this. And that's kind of the point when I made this switch, transformation from queer to trans, which is the reason why this show maybe will be called Trans Anarchist FM tomorrow. Because, yeah, that's kind of a good idea. I think queer communism, I elaborated on that, and it is more, what I wanted to make clear with queer communism is more about the reflection about the method of thinking. I had this radio show, it was in German before this series of podcasts called Der Sophist, The Sophist, which was more about kind of really having fun with like reasoning, because from this kind of standpoint of interconnectedness, still knowing the limits of the blind spot being part of the construction, like watching the watcher is like the origin. You don't have to even presuppose you could be on your own. Like intersubjectivity is like the starting point. So it's kind of reconstructing all these like 19th century thinking stuff is male perspective most is really, yeah, it could be considered kind of a nerdish hobby in the way that you preserve it. It's a kind of work on tradition. That's maybe where I started from, because reading philosophy gave me a lot, because it's a lot of fun, like the way thoughts are interconnected and like how, what language can do and what you can do by constructing terminology and interconnecting terminology and creating hypotheses, and what's the difference between a thinking in time and not in time, and thinking with motion and not in motion, and thinking about context and not context, and thinking about economy, materialism versus idealism, and thought as tool and thought as experience, all these things. Like from epistemology to fun. And then I went on doing this queer communist thing, and this was more about having giving this focus on communism. What I started with, like a more general philosophy kind of approach. In this show, I was focusing more on this interconnectedness between queerness and communism, and how this connection could make communism evolve into a more time-specific framework, which could work for a global revolution, which is obviously, and it's not fun, it's just, that's what keeps me alive, so, so that's kind of, so to put it in a more systemical framework. I'm not using the word holistic here. You could use it, but for me, keeping the blind spot in is like the most important thing, because within your thinking, you're imagining yourself as other, and the other is supposed to be the not knowable. So if you know it all, you've gone wrong. That's really important. Yeah, it's really important. So queering communism was about queering dogmatism, if you would put it very simple, despite there is a lot of thought like this. But ending patriarchy and capitalism, which can probably only be done at the same time, while still working with the many layers of differential oppression and evolving societies which always change, and people, and like the situation we live in. So it's a motion in motion thing. So this is again, but it's maybe the same like this observer of the observer thing. It's always, you have to start with motion to think about motion. Like you have to, so you don't have to say it twice in the end, because it's an effectual state which stalls, like, which stops the motion to make it a dead imaginary thing. This is a very, I can connect this, like watching, like dead watch is a very patriarchal system. There are some good references to this in Silvia Federici's Caliban and the Witch, about the scientific method and Francis Bacon and thinking of everything, that everything has to be dead to be researched, and the roots in Christianity stuff. So very interesting. But this stopping of motion, this is a very patriarchal view. But before, I always want to add this, before anyone who could be listening, who's kind of into his maleness, you can always escape to fantasy. It's not bad. And fantasy is not a less valuable space than reality, because fantasy marks the relation. It's kind of the contingency sphere of what could be done. It's what people in the old days would have called free will, or will in general, is your relation, how to relate from fantasy to performativity. Yeah, it's very interesting. Don't underestimate your fantasy. Yeah, Where the Wild Things Are is a nice movie to watch about fantasy if you like it. Can be an interesting study. Like I was saying, I maybe switch from queer communist to trans anarchist to just make the difference, because now I'm kind of taking a different route. Is it route or is it route? I don't know. Because I'm kind of done with that. Like I made my case of trying to actualize communism. I will still not have any problems calling myself a communist. As far as I'm concerned, I always go with the basic meaning of a word, which is commune, come together, and make this principle. As far as it's opposed to bourgeois society, I talked about these misunderstandings, like, yeah, it's a way of circling around with like terminology. If you have a capitalist frame to include community or even liberalism afterwards, it's kind of nonsensical, because you know about frames and organizational spheres and systems which are material because they are believed to be true and are made true performatively. Yeah, they can be ripped apart, but they construct identity. So an identity is kind of a vital function of creating meaning, life. Ever heard of it? Life? But now back to this where I started. When I switched from what I mean now, when I would call myself trans, it's more important to focus that I'm now a female too. I never was a man, probably. I don't know if I was raised as a man. I cannot remember. I think people did see me, but I had this kind of gift of autism, people would call it, despite I'm totally out of pathologizing, but I spent like a lot of years not realizing anything, I would say. Not really, living like in a really idiosyncratic world. Maybe you could put a lot of psychological energy in it to find out if I have like boundary issues with my mother or stuff or whatever. Or whatever, my father, blah, blah, familiarity stuff. Like, yeah, yeah, as far as I do despise any concept of familiarity, I do acknowledge that these people spend a lot of time with me in a very intimate way. Not like you think. Insist alert. No, no. Whatever. So, yeah, so this is kind of strange now, what the position I'm in and my where I can start my thinking, because I have no connection to maleness. Was very important to me to learn that having a penis is not about being a man. It's there. It can be used in different ways. The male way of using a penis is disgusting to me. Anything connected with the word male in a social performative way is strange to me, disgusting. So, but, and now I'm maybe getting off a lot of trains from anyone, I'm departing whatever discourse, because for me, yeah, it is really about fantasy. Like I said before, I'm really into fantasy, and I do think that male and female concepts are fantasy. They are made real intersubjectively by people making it real, like, and they are made real by the way work is organized in a capitalist society. So they are real. But I know I'm kind of far out. So that's why I said I'm neurodiverse. It's not working with me. Like this whole language game thing. It's not working with me. I cannot. If something is like wrong, it stays wrong. It doesn't become right if you talk about it longer or make a compromise. By compromise, it doesn't change anything. So I don't know if all the other people are just hiding their strangeness, their like wishy wobbly wibbly wobbly brain, or their mental whatever, and trying to whatever, yeah, perform. For me, it's just strange. If I look at myself, I'm just, there's normality is not really the point which I could achieve, and there are so many spheres, like how if I would start what I do with what people generally call, what people have taken away and call it religion, like this recuperation of all these basic ways of breathing, touching, loving stuff. What making it, I'm such a crazy anti-authoritarian person, maybe. I don't get it. Maybe I'm just 21st century boy. Yeah, because boy sounds girly to me. I'm in luck. That's fine if you're not an English native speaker. You have maybe more options of making it a fantasy language. Because nobody's really knowing what it's about. Because knowing what it's about, it's an authoritarian construct of people like holding the papers. So language is whatever you want it to be, and then you can see if anybody goes along. You won't make it a thing, or you will make it a thing. Stick to your shtick, whatever you want. I always hear the voices of my critics, which I don't even like talking to sometimes, because I'm always like, oh yeah, I know, yeah, I know the. Yeah, but I'm totally into it. Maybe I'm not. Look, am I confused? No, I'm not. I'm I have a special way of talking. So what is the difference now? Is now I'm dressing female, like mostly all of the time. Maybe if, yeah, I was wearing a lot of makeup before, and now I am wearing more like skirts and tights, like try to wear heels whenever I can, and getting more into dancing to, yeah, be better with my body, because it's very important to, and now again, this is kind of how to transpose this in a discourse, like in a discussion, because how should I get a positive relation to my body if I cannot have a positive relation to my body because I don't like it? I can have gender in my mind, but I want to have gender in my body because I connect to lust, lustness, sexy time, sexiness. So I don't know what to do with myself. Yeah, this very specific, that's my experience. So, and I think, yeah, very hard to grasp. There are, like, another thing I'm observing is how kind of impossible it is to be, even if you're just perceived as a cross-dresser. In Germany, I don't know, people are very normal here in most of parts, and there is are these hipsterish kind of areas in Germany, but it's still not, you don't want to go in drag, or as they say in German, Tunte. You know, you just don't want to. You wouldn't. You can, but it's so strange because you realize what dress code and social dress code and coding and normcore coding is about. It's just gruesome. People were shocked about my fingernails if I painted them as being read as male before. So now people are just, okay, this is, people are plainly disgusted, but there are very different reactions. So it's not that it's a dangerous place per se, by day, in groups, and there are, it's kind of interesting using as it as a tool of resilience. Is it right? Like if you, if like this fake bourgeois promise of liberalism is saying, oh, you can be whatever you want, and yeah, so I can kind of perform this kind of liberalism in my own very queer, subversive way, and people don't really, cannot argue against it, so it's very, very interesting, especially in a bourgeois context, but it's very specific to me again because I'm working as an artist and now I'm getting some money from my mother who can help me through. Yeah, I could apply for money from state, like being out of work stuff, like how is it called, underemployed millennial style. Oh my god. No, this is not my kind of language at all, so no. No. But this is like, this is permanent gaslighting, which you are actually, you're running into the gaslighting. It's this is maybe what it's, this trans experience is for, first and foremost. For me, it's a major gaslighting, like, walk of fame, whatever, because so many things will come up and people will tell you why it's not true and not real and if it's really like this and it's, but so, and so if I am in a safe space, in a trans community space, I can always say, oh yeah, this is a trans non-binary experience, because I, like I said, for me the binaries of gender are imaginary and based on the way they were economically designed in a special purpose, so they are persisting because they have use for a special way of organizing labor. But this is, so you could consider that this kind of how labor is divided thing in these late capitalist post-industrialist situations, like in Germany especially, and especially for my part as working as an artist or slash social worker slash project-based precariat slash working poor slash create yourself and sell it to me slash identitarian competition subject of yourself slash control society identitarian entrepreneur whatever, yeah, unionize, yeah, so this is very specific, but it's very important now to, and this is very interesting for me because I cannot really figure it out yet what it means, but first of all, being female as well, like saying, okay, I don't need, if I'm beyond, oh, I'm not this and that, but yes, I'm female too. This is what scares people, like, and scares, it's what scares, such a nice word, which just people just detest it. They don't like it. So, and they don't understand it because they have different struggles. So again, could be a generational thing. So it's always a different, if, am I trying to make a reconstruction, trying to find a genealogy of where it comes from, how the gender blah, starting from there, coming from here, or do I just go from where I feel I am today? Germany is very, like, lots of people are very old here, it's not a young society, so if you want to make a political change, you always try to talk to your elders. Yeah, that's kind of sad, but so the translational work is a lot, translational, relational. Yeah, so what? Yeah, so, but this was like experience-wise, allowing myself not to be man, but be, if being anything, being what I consider the woman, which is most certainly an idealized prototype of a self-empowered, valid, strong, loving, caring, helpful, communist, anarchist, revolutionary, blossom of beauty, which is the general concept of womanhood, you know, like what every child learns. You're going to be a revolutionary blossom. So, but don't joke with me. Anyone who is like kind of listening in and not listening to me, I can deal with your shit, so whatever. This is me talking to my critics again, because wow, people just, they cannot take it. So yeah, and so yeah, the trans experience is so it's very helpful for my body perception, because I can finally agree not being male, because being male is, I just don't know what it is, I don't know how to do it, and if I do it, it's disgusting. So this is not really, I started off like thinking that's like I should fight against males, but whatever they are, I don't know. Some people say masculinity should be labeled as a mental illness. I say, yeah, probably, but I don't know. I think living in the gender binary is a very bad thing, and sometimes it has this very concrete materialistic reason where division of labor and the surrounding ideology is accepted to be true and so can be defended from the position of the specific consciousness. But what is the thing in these kind of like German is willkür volatile, like you can decide whatever, like for example the categorization in the gender binary was kind of a patriarchal scheme which set up in a capitalistic blah blah blah, and was set up to, and people could arrange in it because it kept, there were certain promises to be kept in it in a way, and like you could play out patriarchy and win with it, so you could go with it and it would make sense, even it's, but you could defend it and so you could fight it off as a being a expression. This is what some expression of, like, I would just use like words that won't be true in a minute, but like it was kind of truthful, like when people say I'd rather argue with a honest conservative with like than like a volatile postmodernist person, in a way, are these conservatives, they know what they're talking about because they are what they say. It's like it's kind of ridiculous, but it had this, but this is again, it's this bourgeois thing. But what I wanted, where I wanted to head on with this is then in a society like now where this construction doesn't make any sense anymore, even economically, because what is expected from the subjectivation and the people in these societies is post-factual in a way. It's like, it's paradox, it's performative paradoxy all the time. So you stick to this binary, but you see it can only fulfill itself in its most prototypical way. So you have to be the alpha male or the super standardized woman. So like, while the whole binary as social order is falling apart and is being replaced by just the toxicity of the concept, which is like people revenging on the society which gave them these ideas that then didn't work, like you hand somebody you say, oh, you, I will teach you how to use a hammer, and then you can go into this room and kill all the rats, and then you enter the room and it's full of birds, and you cannot kill birds with a hammer, so the example works out. So, and you're like, oh, why did you teach me how to use the hammer? And then you start hammering around and it's all collateral damage. You hit yourself, you hit the others. And this is kind of the way if you use the tool approach, always think, not about the band, if you use the approach of tools, always think about their social reconstruction and social processes are not, tools are like commodified in a way, not in this capitalist way, but in the way of toolified. So they have a certain range of how they're used. This is not the general mode of thinking, which is psychotransgressive, which is blowing with wind, like, how's it called? Like when you're smoking weed or stuff, like psycho, I don't know, it's Rausch in German. I always miss it in English now, whatever. Yeah, if you get high. Rausch. Rush. Yeah, psychotransgressional. Yeah, so, like, process of the mind is not the process of a tool, because creating a tool in the mind is quite a purpose. It takes work, because it's so different from how the mind works. And creating mindfulness in a world of tools is very complicated, because not the nature of commodified objects. What is this essay gonna be about? I don't know if I want to read it. Being a woman too is what is it's about. But and then it makes my life better and easier, and my mental health is better. Not in this total way, but still, if I'm on my own, all alone, I can finally find an identification would give me some safety, which might be, could be ideological and bad again, like anything, but we will see. I don't know. And I will not be, because if I see something like my own femininity, I see that it's like some stars in a dark sky. I have no reason to act like I know anything. There's nobody in my position. I don't have to show off my heroism. Maybe sometimes showing off by not having to show off, but it doesn't work, so the abyss of meaninglessness is eating me from the inside. Wah, whatever. Yeah. So, this is my position now. And yeah, like I said, I'm walking outside with dresses and stuff. People, whoa, I get scared. Not a lot of people do it. I figure that a lot of, I read that 95%, I don't know if it was the German statistic, define themselves in a binary way when they talk about trans. So I wouldn't. I have to take a break. 1 second, I'll be back. Yeah, here I'm back. So I will elaborate on that in the next episode, like it will be the first of a Trans Anarchist FM. That's so fun, work for a free radio station. I can change my titles. Nobody is forcing me into economic sense. Great. Thank you, FSK Radio. This was a production of Trans Anarchist FM, formerly known as Queer Communist FM, for Freies Senderkombinat Hamburg. You can listen to Freies Senderkombinat under fsk-hh.org/livestream, or you can re-listen to these podcasts on German website freie-radios.net. It's freie-radios.net. Thank you for listening. Yeah. See you next time. Hear you. Listen. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, that's where I'm now. And I will go on about this. 95% in Germany, as far as I understood, are defining themselves as binary in trans. So, and I will have to really, yeah, just talk it out and find out what this is about. Yeah, you can always send me an email by just writing to any email address on the fsk-hh.org webpage. It will reach me. So, bye, lovelies.